Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, that's the sound of rock splitting. This is Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and you are listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net, and rock is splitting in this presidential election year, has been throughout the year, and now we're in September. Labor Day has passed. The real campaign is on, and guess what? Some poll numbers are coming out showing Trump and Clinton neck and neck. Some even showed Trump ahead by a point or two. A far cry from about a month ago. And we are going to play some clips of what some people were talking about. And a couple weeks ago, we did a show about the journey that Donald Trump is on as a candidate and how things have gone back and forth. But we got some good highlight clips, and we're going to play some. I'll give you some commentary on that. And then we got some clips from Hillary Clinton. But the second half of the show, I do want to say this on a sad note, but also a glad note. Phyllis Schlafly, conservative icon, friend of Rock Splitting Politics. She's been on several times. And those who listen to my show, Republican Convention Update, know that I was on the floor of the convention, and one night, one evening, there was Phyllis Schlafly, 92 years old, in her wheelchair, and was being pushed around. She was behind the Mississippi delegation, and I got a chance to speak with her, talk to her about when she was on just a few weeks ago on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And we'll play some clips of that in the second half of the show. That she has passed away, but what a legend and what a role model for men and women. She worked till she dropped, folks. She worked hard for what she believed in. And from, she's told us from 1952, her first Republican convention, and I saw her eyeball to eyeball, and glad I did, and got to speak to her on the Florida Republican convention just a few weeks ago. And wow, she worked until she called home the glory. And that old song, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes," it's a hymn for an old hymn in the Christian faith. We'll work till Jesus comes, and then we'll be called home. And she's called home, and she's left such a legacy. She was one of the first to get on board, one of the first conservative icons to get on board with Donald Trump. And so we'll play some clips of our show in the second half. But let's get right into what we're talking about. We're talking about presidential election year. Yes, Senate races are going on. Yes, House races are going. Very, very important. Pivotal. Very pivotal. If Trump wins the White House, before he can do anything, he has to have a Republican Senate and House. And the Senate is very much in toss-up territory, and what can happen in races, and how many people get out to vote. Very, very important. Coming election day, but you know, even now, some places are starting their absentee ballots, their early voting. So is it important to get your message out? Yes, indeed. And we're going to talk about that with Donald Trump, reaching out to the minority community. We've talked about it, had a special show on it, maybe doing another one. I had some African-American conservatives contact me, and we're seeing, we put together a show especially for minorities, for those people of color in America who are fading away from Hillary's dreams, because we've said for most African Americans in the inner cities and different places, Martin Luther King's, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of I have a dream. It's turned into a nightmare. And what went on? So we're going to see about getting a special show here in the next month about that. But on today's show, let's listen to some clips. And I tell you, my hats go off to the diehard Trump fans who got him put into the position to be the Republican nominee. And everybody on here knows I was a Ted Cruz fan. Back in Ted Cruz, once we saw he couldn't make it, did I have problems getting behind Donald Trump? I wanted to see the big picture. I wanted to see everything. But no, I'm saying we're behind the Republican nominee because there's no choice compared Trump to who? Hillary Clinton? Who would you not vote for Trump to keep Hillary from being our next president? So a lot of things going on. I just think of this song when I think about the true blue Trump supporters who got on board. I'm on board now, but take a listen to this song. And I believe this really sums up Trump and the momentum he's building with some people who have never voted in a presidential election. They're coming out to vote for Trump. Take a listen to this song, see if it doesn't inspire you Trumpsters, including me.
I'm in love for the first time. Don't you know it's gonna last? It's a love that lasts forever. It's a love that has no past. Don't let me down.
Well, I don't believe Trump's letting any of his original backers down. In fact, they're getting very excited. And when he talks about Trump giving all the things that got him the Republican nomination, I believe you can say, being a non-politician, says, well, you can't be president. You can't just walk up and not have government experience and be president. But Donald Trump is breaking the mold. He talk about Hillary Clinton being a glass ceiling, breaking a glass ceiling for a woman to be president. How about a non-politician breaking a glass ceiling? And people are sick and tired of politics as normal and the establishment. So Trump is walking in and doing something that nobody's ever done before, walking in to say, I don't have government experience, and that gives me better resume for this job. And that's why so many people have gotten behind him and on this bandwagon. And I just think of that Beatles song, you know, I'm in love for the first time. And it's a love that has no past. Who else has run for president and got the nominee of either party when they have no government experience? And yet Trump has surrounded himself. And why his numbers gone up in the polls lately, I think, is because he's surrounding himself with good people, new campaign team, to keep him on message, and people will see he's a brilliant man. Does he make mistakes? Is he going to be perfect? Of course he's not going to be perfect. Of course he makes mistakes. But you have to say the American people are starting to gravitate toward Donald Trump. And let's just see where he came from. You know, I talked about the journey. Let's take a listen to some of the things that if you can remember these. Everybody thought, well, Trump's dead in the water. I'm not talking about when he first started way back last year. I'm talking about it here in just the last few months. But take a listen to some of these clips from Bloomberg Politics.
You survived your second, yes, second summer of Trump. For us here at Bloomberg Politics, the last couple months on the campaign trail flew by so fast we thought we'd take a moment on the eve of this Labor Day weekend to reflect back on all the plots, subplots, and sub-subplots of the Republican nominee's summer.
If you are saying he can't do his job because of his race, is that not the definition of racism?
No, I don't think so at all. He's a Mexican. We're building a wall between here and Mexico.
Many Republicans are watching this in horror.
Claiming a person can't do the job because of their race is sort of like the textbook definition of a racist comment.
The condemnation of the Speaker of the House of his own party's presumptive nominee is extraordinary. Get used to it. There's going to be more of it.
When I'm elected, I will suspend immigration from areas of the world where there is a proven history of terrorism against the United States.
I do not think a Muslim ban is in our country's interest. I do not think it is reflective of our principles, not just as a party, but as a country.
Right now, the biggest thing going on in this presidential race is a lot of the media and a lot of Republicans, mostly ones who don't want Trump to win, but including some who do, think that this thing is being cooked right now in a way that will be difficult for Trump to recover from.
You know, the Republicans, honestly, folks, our leaders have to get tougher. This is too tough to do it alone. But you know what? I think I'm going to be forced to.
The notion that you can go it alone, that you can become the president of the United States as the nominee of the Republican Party with no help from anyone, it's all me, it's all going to be me, is not, it's not in touch with reality.
Donald Trump used his signature line, "You're fired today."
Donald Trump with a message for his campaign manager, "You're fired."
Why did Trump get rid of Courtland
Dust? Whoa, this is Doc Holliday here. Let me stop the tape right there. I got some more I want you to listen to, but I can remember that. My stomach was curling inside thinking Hillary Clinton may very well be our next president of the United States. Donald Trump was shooting himself in the foot over and over. I mean, at this point, when Donald Trump was had the nomination wrapped up, he had not accepted the nomination, had not been to Cleveland yet, and people were saying this thing, we're in trouble with this Republican nominee if we don't want Hillary Clinton to be our next president. Something has got to get better. But we go back and listen to that a show a couple weeks ago, The Journey. Donald Trump has been on a journey. He's never run for office before. He was up against 16 others, and he knocked them out one by one, and he became the Republican nominee. But what's more than that, he made a bunch of mistakes. Not one here, not one there. A bunch of mistakes. And it goes back to his true believers that got him the nomination were those who said, "We love you, Trump." And, you know, and just like the Beatles song, "Don't Let Me Down," they know Trump's not going to let them down. And they believe it's like being in love for the first time. And they're sticking with Donald Trump, and it's growing. It's growing. You see by the numbers there. Let's play a few more of what Trump has done. And it is amazing that he's caught back up in the polls. And here we go. Take a listen to a few more of these clips.
After months of tension, having two people trying to run the campaign, bickering over personnel decisions, over how Trump operates, etc., Donald Trump's children and some other advisors convinced him that this had to be done now.
Hillary Clinton may be the most corrupt person ever to seek the presidency of the United States.
How about the themes Trump chose about changing Washington, about the country not being able to rely on Hillary Clinton to change things, questioning her veracity? I thought those were all very well chosen, and I think he'll keep those up. Our billionaire Republican presumptive nominee just so happened to be in the United Kingdom today. The presumptive Republican nominee reacted to the Brexit news.
I really do see a parallel between what's happening in the United States and what's happening here.
Saddam Hussein was a bad guy, right? But you know what he did well? He killed terrorists.
The Saddam thing has gotten as much, if not more, attention than the stuff that he said about Hillary and her email practices and Comey and all that stuff.
It's the Republican beef steaks speculation that has reached critical mass today. There are a lot of news outlets, including CBS News, reporting Pence is the choice for Trump. He is a steady influence. He's a policy guy. He's opposite of Trump in a lot of ways, and that will reassure people.
I have a great deal of respect for John McCain.
Do you think he went too far?
You could say yes. That's okay. You could say yes.
Clearly, this man is not a politician.
Doc Holliday stepping right in here again, because I got to tell you something about Mike Pence, a little story that I know from a personal point of view. But first, let me just say it again. You see how Donald Trump has grown? And you see in his interviews how he's grown. And people make fun of some of the things he said, like asking Pence about John McCain, and Trump jumping in and say, "You can say yes, you can say what you want to," and everybody laughs at, Trump's controlling even Pence. But let me tell you something about Mike Pence. Now, here's something that you'll get that you hadn't heard anywhere on the news, because nobody knows about it, but Doc Holliday, because a friend of mine, someone I rely on when we don't get in details here on this show, because I know it goes over so many people's heads, but I love the United States military and the history of what America is today and the freedoms we have is because of men and women who put on a uniform And I absolutely adore and honor those who are serving now and those who have gone before us. We've had many shows talking about them and talking about veterans, talking about those who are on the front lines of freedom even now. But I want to tell you this story because there's a friend of mine, and again, I go to him for defense, help, and understanding things because he does understand them. He's lived there, a general, and I'm not going to go into details or give out names, but I just want you to know that his mind is brilliant. And after 9/11, he was called up to the Pentagon and had to serve several years there in the Pentagon after 9/11 and have been getting the troop forces and overall planning. And one of the things he said when he's up there is a new congressman, one of the newer congressmen that was there every week, they'd give the Pentagon to give a briefing for the members of Congress who wanted to come and hear. And there's one guy that's always there and wanted to know more. And one day he asked, he said, Can I get a way of knowing more? I'd love to go to there's a secret place that now we all know about where, you remember they wrote about if there was a Cold War, nuclear reaction, something happened and Washington had to be abandoned, then this is the place the Congress would go and the government would continue to work up in not far from Camp David. But And things have been written about it because some reporter found out and figured out there's 435 chairs in one room and wondered why, and then, you know, everything came together. And so people know about the secret place now. But this young congressman wanted to go and wanted this general to say, you know, can you take me? He said, my father fought in the Korean War. I believe that's what the congressman had told this general. But I really don't know details on the military because I haven't served. And can you help me better understand the military? And so the general took time and got permission to fly this congressman into to see some of the places, some of the things, to better understand the United States military and the role that Congress has in providing freedom for America. And it was the person who asked and really dug deep into why and how and what the military is and how it functions and the military, just the way the military language. He learned that. And his name was Mike Pence. As he was the early years in his congressional career, he wanted to know. He was like a sponge seeking to know how things work. And now he is the vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party. And so I just want to share that story about Mike Pence and a way he wanted to know. And he went beyond and spent time to understand the United States military. And now he's there helping Trump to better understand what America needs. And that's why Trump is surrounding himself with good people. And I believe his poll numbers are coming up because he's surrounded himself with trusted intelligence, good people like Mike Pence as his VP nominee, but others we talked about on the show. So I want to share that with you, a little personal story and insight that you won't hear anywhere else because no one else knows it, but I just told you about it. Now, we got to continue on with the second half of the show when we're going to have some clips from our friend who's just passed away, Phyllis Schlafly. And before we do that, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And there is a book out. And if you haven't got your book yet, you need to order it. Go to the front page of this Rock Splitting Politics. Click on Bedrock Truths. 8 Uncompromising Principles for Conservatives Now. I wrote the book along with Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland. Great people, a great read, helps you understand what you need to be doing right now to stay in touch with what the conservative values that we need in this country and how to get there. And the journey never is ended, just like Phyllis Schlafly went to her first convention in 1952. just went to her last convention. I saw her there, and I'm so glad to see her. And she worked until she was called home to heaven. What a valuable, valuable role model. And I'll be excited to let you listen to some of the things she's done on the show here the last few years. But
this pile represents the emails you sent or received from early 2012 until the day of the attack. There are 795 emails in this pile. We've counted them. There are 67 emails in this pile in 2012. And I'm troubled by what I see here. I can only conclude by your own records that there was a lack of interest in Libya in 2012.
The server contains personal communications from my husband and me.
The only time I got on the internet, I did two emails, and I ordered Christmas presents from a reservation. Otherwise, I found people said embarrassing things on emails. I didn't want to be one of them.
And how many angels dance on the head of a pin? I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
Indeed. Hillary, how do you answer that? Well, maybe you have a coughing conniption, or maybe you just bark like a dog.
We need to get that dog and follow him around, and every time they say these things, like, oh, you know, the great recession is caused by what?
Well, what would you rather have, to hear Hillary's coughing conniption fit, or would you rather hear her barking like a dog? One thing we want to make sure, we never want to hear her giving a presidential address, because that means she's been elected president. So please, we have fun on this show, but whatever you do, get involved on the Trump train, because there's only, what we said before, there's only one way to stop Obamacare. There's only one way to get conservative legislation passed that we've talked about that won't be vetoed. And if you may, if people say, I got to hold my nose to vote for Trump. Well, go vote for Pence. Go do something for America. Vote for change. And the only way we're going to get change in any direction, this election must be about change. And you must vote for Donald Trump and Mike Pence to get change. So please get on board, because our nation and our children and grandchildren depend on what you do. You do, and the way you get people excited about this election. But I tell you, if Hillary, and you go back to last week's show, listen about the Clinton Foundation, and it is so corrupt, the scandal after scandal, how is she even still the nominee? But I told you, we're going to get to a great lady, and we're not talking about Hillary Clinton here. Phyllis Schlafly passed away last week. God bless her. This work that she's done, it continue on in Eagle Forum, and the able hands that are there. And I really just want to pay a tribute to Phyllis Schlafly. She was good to this show, Rock Splitting Politics. Always nice when I met her, and I was so glad I got to see her on the floor of the Republican convention just a couple of months ago. Take a listen to some of the what we've did exclusive interviews, Doc Holliday's exclusive interviews right here on Rock Splitting Politics with Phyllis Schlafly. All right, on this week's Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, we're very, very proud to have Phyllis Schlafly, and she is a renowned conservative, been in the movement since before Ronald Reagan even, and she knows a lot of things. And today we want to talk to her about these unemployment statistics that the president spoke about even in the State of the Union address. So welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Phyllis.
Well, thanks a lot, Doc. Always good to join you.
Well, one of the things that really perturbed me, if I can use that word, was the fact that during the State of the Union address, it sounds like we are living in mourning in America, like Ronald Reagan was president. And that's what I think President Obama seems to think. And he gave us some great statistics. Do you agree with all the unemployment statistics he talked to us about?
No, the statistics are very misleading. First place, when they give you the count of unemployed, they don't count the people who've been looking for a job for months and have given up looking. And there are tens of thousands of those who kind of given up. They also don't tell you that when a guy has been out of work for 6 months or more, it's more difficult than ever to get a job.
And we know, saying that, Phyllis, that we know there's a lot that haven't had jobs in a while, and of course they're not even counted in the unemployment statistics.
They're not counted in the unemployment statistics. It's only the people who currently signed up for some kind of relief and government handout who get counted in the unemployment. And then the recent figures show that most of the jobs that have been increased, most of the new jobs that have been created have gone to aliens, both legal and illegal. And they're not going to Native Americans, the ones we are really most, should be most concerned about.
And when you say that, is there any kind of government statistic that showed that the illegal undocumented workers are getting more jobs? I mean, is there any?
Well, there are figures, but I'm a little bad on my numbers now. You know, I'm 90 years old, so I can't give you the exact numbers, but I know that it's true that most of the new jobs are going to the aliens, either legal or illegal, and they're not going to the people in this country. So everything Obama has been doing has been destroying not only the middle class, but the traditional type of family.
Well, that was Phyllis Schlafly a couple years ago when she was 90 years old on Rock Splitting Politics, and again, defending the right of mothers to be mothers and defending the right of families. And that's Phyllis Schlafly in a nutshell. She was defending the American family, defending American freedoms, and she loved her country. And she loved her Christian background. Now, I've got a little clip. This is the last time we talked to Phyllis when we were on the convention floor. Let me play that clip, and then we'll finish up the show. Got something very special to tell you that I just put together after I reheard this clip. Take a listen to Phyllis Schlafly, and then wait and let me tell you what I'm going to at the end of the show. Be able to play more. But our good friend Phyllis Schlafly, 92 or 93 years old. She was on the convention floor, and we had her on early when she was, I interviewed her when I was for Ted Cruz. She was for Donald Trump. She early on became a Trump supporter. So I'll play a clip. I asked her about that. So I'm going to play that clip in just a minute. I'll tell you what, let's just play it right now on this update. And then in a minute, Don King, the boxing king, of his hair standing straight up, he was unloading on some people why African Americans should vote for Donald Trump. I'm going to play that clip right after you hear this from Phyllis Schlafly.
Doc Holliday, you've been on my podcast, my radio show. You remember Doc Holliday?
Yeah.
You said you've been to every convention since 1952.
Right.
How do you stack up this convention since you're a Trump supporter from the beginning?
Well, I'm very happy about what has happened, and I just wish the people who are holding out for another candidate would realize they've lost, and they ought to join the ranks and make sure Hillary is not elected.
Now, that's a Doc Holliday exclusive from the floor of the 2016 Republican National Convention with Phyllis Schlafly. She was in a wheelchair being helped around, but isn't it wonderful? She's been to every convention since 1952 when We Like Ike, Dwight D. Eisenhower, was nominated for the Republican Party. So, wow. That was the end of a little clip I took out of one of our Republican National Convention updates. And that was Phyllis Schlafly, and the last words you'll hear her say on Rock Splitting Politics.
And I'm so glad I got to see her. And this is what, when she said, we were on the convention floor and there were a few holdouts that, for Cruz or others did not want Trump, the Never Trumpers, and just a handful. It wasn't like a mass thing that was going to shut down the convention like some television networks wanted to say is going on. But Phyllis Schlafly, the heart of the just the conservative movement, and she has passed away now. But, you know, when the famous line, let's win one for the Gipper, came out, Ronald Reagan said that in a movie line. But let's look at this 2016 election. And these Never Trumpers, people say, I can't get behind Trump. Let's look at Phyllis Schlafly in honor of the life she lived for conservatism and making America stand strong on strong principles of freedom. Let's go out there and let's win this one for Phyllis Schlafly. Let's win it for Phyllis. Let's get a Trump elected. She picked Trump early on, and she wanted him to win. Let's make sure he does. Get out there and win one for Phyllis. And now to sum up those points, I'm going to recite a poem, an exclusive poem written by Doc Holliday just for my audience. And I hope you'll help get it out there because it's about Phyllis Schlafly. And before I do that, I'm getting this show taped like we do every week, but at the end of this week, I will be going to the Value Voter Summit, Washington, D.C. I'll be there. I'll give you a firsthand report on next week's show. Looking forward to that. Now, for Phyllis Schlafly, to honor her life of never giving up, to celebrate her tenacity and her incredible guts, to continue pursuing her conservative dream, let's rally with Trump, her first pick, to lead our team. Our country is in danger and desperate need. The stakes in this election could not be graver, indeed. We once worked together to win one for the Gipper. Now we must do it again to keep the White House from Hillary the Ripper. Therefore, let us brave the stormy weather for such a time as this. And like Remember the Alamo, let's win this election for Phyllis. See you next week. Lot to talk about.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Or visit DocHolliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.